This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross in for Stormy today alongside Michael Lombardi. Michael, great to be with you again today. Going to have Adam Burke join the program today. Harry Gagnon is going to join us in hour number two. Really fun show on the docket today. Got a lot of NFL that we need to discuss. But before we do that, including one of the new articles that you have out today about the Seattle Seahawks that I want to dive into, we did have news in the association that I think is significant news and maybe affecting some of those futures markets out there. I saw some Timberwolves fans say, you got to suspend Jamal Murray. You can't throw a towel and a heat thing on the floor. Not just a fine. You got a $100K fine from the league. No suspension from Jamal Murray. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I didn't know what the league would do. Are you surprised that this is all that's being done?
No, I'm not, but I'm still waiting for him to, what are they going to do with Joel Embiid? He tried to twist Mitchell Robinson's leg and he never got suspended or fined for that. Like, how did the Murray incident move ahead of the Embiid one in terms of the handing out the infractions? Look, what Murray did is wrong. There's no question. And if you're going to suspend him, then suspend him at the start of next season. I mean, it kind of takes away from the flavor of the playoffs, although people could argue clearly with right that, you know, if you're stupid enough to do that, you should get suspended and cost your team because that comes under the umbrella of mental toughness. But no, I mean, look, Silver is not going to do anything to disrupt the game in terms of people viewing it. He knows it's important. He's got TV contracts that await him. He's got to get as much ratings as he possibly can to try to create the situation with his broadcasting rights. So taking a good player off, having a bad game, like we saw last night, two bad games, isn't going to do the NBA any good.
Yeah, so he will be there for Friday's game three in Minnesota. Right now, Timberwolves 4.5-point favorites in that game three. The other news to come out that's going to affect the Knicks going forward, Mitchell Robinson has a stress injury to his left ankle. He's going to be reevaluated, but it won't be reevaluated for 6 to 8 weeks. So I think you can kind of say bye-bye to Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks for the rest of this NBA playoffs.
Oh, Mitchell's done. I mean, so now we've lost Julius Randle, Bogdanovich, and Robinson. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are – that's that. There goes their rotation. And so, like, who's going to pick – I mean, Precious is going to have to pick up the minutes, I guess. But the way that Indiana moves the ball, the way that they're able to – to force you to play at a fast pace, even when they're not playing fast, because the ball moves side to side. You got to move your feet one way or the other, right? I mean, I think this is significant for them. Look, the 12 minutes he played the other night, it wasn't good. He was playing on one leg. We get that. But where is, I mean, at some point, I think Tom Thibodeau is going to have to go to his bench. He's going to have to figure out how he, maybe it's Alex Burke, who's got a lot of experience playing in the league. You know, Precious is going to have to play. Somebody's going to have to pick up the minutes. I mean, you can't play six guys. You just can't. I mean, Precious paid 4 minutes the other day. That's all he played. And, you know, those guys are playing in the 40s, and we only have one day off between games.
Yep, game two tonight at back of the Garden. Knicks 5-point favorites in that one. Total there, 218.5. So, again, no Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks.
I'm surprised it's five. I really am. I'm surprised it's five. I thought this would have moved a little bit. I think, you know, like if you just watch the game last week on Monday night, I'm not sure the best team won, frankly. You know, I know the Knicks were fortunate. I know the calls. But with all that being said, Halliburton took six shots. TJ McConnell took 16. You know, so you know Halliburton's going to be a little bit more aggressive. I just thought, to me, the Pacers were longer, more athletic, and they played faster. I think the Knicks – every game is going to be harder. That's why five seems like a lot to me.
I tend to agree with you. I'll be very curious to see if they can get that same production in Indiana that they got out of the bench. You mentioned the lack of a bench for the Knicks, and it just gets thinner now without Mitchell Robinson. Who's going to be awaiting the winner of the Pacers and the Knicks? It looks like it's going to be the Celtics. Easy win last night over Cleveland. 120-95 in that one. The over cashes in that one. And Boston easily covers at 12.5. Michael, kind of what we talked about yesterday, right? Just we don't see a whole lot of resistance here, and there wasn't a lot last night in game one.
No, I mean, look, it's going to be, you know, this is not a coaching problem. This is a personnel problem for Cleveland, right? They just don't have enough guys. And Darius Garland's, you know, when he's 6-for-15, 2-for-8 from the three-point line, you know, he's got to raise his level of play. But there's just not enough talent on Cleveland to compete with this really good Boston team. And so, you know, and when Boston shoots as well as they did from the three, they shoot 39% from the three-point line, took 46 of them, David. Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to beat them like that. I mean, they're clearly going to get to the Eastern Finals. I think the only thing going to get in their way is complacency. And again, like I said yesterday, that Miami loss probably was a great thing for them.
Yeah, game two tomorrow, numbers already up to 13.5 for tomorrow's game two with the total sitting there at 212. We'll see if Jared Allen can get back in there for Cleveland. He was not able to go in game one. Last night, you know, we talked about this too, Michael, about when are we going to stop saying these two teams are too young, like the Timberwolves and OKC, and just go, I mean, these teams are really good. And OKC looked the part last night. They rolled the Mavericks in the second half. The total does stay under 117.95, but they easily cover that 3.5. And I just keep looking at it, and like Luka's 25 looks like he's going on 45, and SGA's 25 looks like he's going on 21. I mean, just it looks like the Thunder's youth is actually an advantage so far.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Doncic is healthy. You can kind of see it. He got hurt early in the first quarter, and he never looked the same. He kind of, you know, and they settled for, you know, they took 35 three-pointers, shot 34% from the three-point line. They're going to have better shooting nights than if they're going to beat OKC. Look, we've been saying this. When you play a lot of games, right, there's a difference between having experience and having expertise. When you're an expert player, you don't need much experience, right? You don't need much experience. Alexander's got a lot of experience. He controls the ball, you know. I mean, they bring Williams, Jalen Williams off the bench. He plays 17 minutes. He gets 11 points. He gets 9 rebounds in 17 minutes. Well, this kid went to the finals, went to the Elite Eight with Arkansas. I mean, he's played in big games. Like, he's not going to be overwhelmed by this. So I think we make way too much out of that. We really do. And it becomes a media conversation. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're too young. What is too young? If you're good, you have expertise. You don't need experience.
Yeah, the kids have arrived. That's for sure. Chet Holmgren looking pretty good as well. OKC, by the way, in game two tomorrow, 5-point favorites now with the total sitting at 218.5. So let's see if they can take a 2-0 series lead in that one. I did want to get back to what you wrote this morning. It's out there for everybody, VSiN.com. Check it out about Seattle. We talked a little bit about the Seahawks yesterday, and you really like what you see on the near horizon for the Seahawks. What did you write about, Michael, and where did this come from, your basis for the sunny forecast, if you will?
Well, I think what you have to do when you're breaking down these over totals, right, is you have to look for teams that have the potential to have put together an offseason. And when I talk about that, the offseason is coaching changes. For example, last year we saw Jim Schwartz go into Cleveland. We all thought that would be a really significant upgrade for them defensively, and it was. It made a huge difference to their over total. You know, and this year, McDonald, replacing Hall of Fame coach Pete Carroll, is going to be a little challenging. But when you look at Seattle, they won 9 games last year without playing very good defense, couldn't stop the run. They're 20-13, David, the last 2 years at home. I mean, this used to be a hard place to play. And I think the number at 7.5 for a team that won 9 and couldn't control the game, gave up 400 yards to the Pittsburgh Steelers and 30 points in week 17 of the season.
Right.
I think McDonald comes in and he can fix their defensive issues. They have talent defensively. They get Murphy, who's a really good player, to play 3 technique. He's going to move people around. I mean, last year he did it with Kyle Van Noy, took him off the Pat McAfee show. He brings Clowney in, who's, you know, picks him up off the street in August, and all of a sudden they have 18.5 sacks together. And the pressure that he brings on the quarterback, I think, will be challenging. So I think, can they get 8 wins? Yeah, I do. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. And people will throw back at me, well, what, you know, they got Geno Smith and Sam Howell. Well, there's times where Geno's played pretty well. Mm-hmm. Last year, the offensive line, both tackles missed a lot of games. The offensive line was kind of a mess. And I think those things get straightened out. I think Seattle can be a sleeping team.
You know, D'Amico Ryans had a lot of success last year, year one coming from the Shanahan coaching system. This is year one for McDonald from the Harbaugh coaching system, both of them, John and Jim. What do you make of that when you kind of see those trees start to grow for younger head coaches, and now they're kind of spawning their own head coaches?
Well, I think when you look at it, right, you know, they're going to be fundamentally sound. That's something that Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh preach consistently. Fundamentals, techniques, they're going to be multiple, right? They're going to run their base scheme defensively, but they're also going to be able to attack the passer, which I think is critical. And they're going to hold people accountable. And I think they've got a good foundation out there in Seattle. I mean, Pete, 14 years there, won a Super Bowl, lost one, you know, and I just think to me, they have an opportunity to really close up. Now, look, they play the AFC West one game. They play in interconference. They play the AFC East, which is Buffalo. You know, is that a great division? The challenge they have is they play the NFC North, which will be a good division. But I would say on the surface, if you're going to play two divisions in the AFC, the East and the West aren't the worst ones to play.
And you mentioned Geno Smith.
Especially with the West being a 17th game. Right. They're going to play the third place winner in the West, which would be the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm. It doesn't look that daunting. You mentioned Geno very quickly. Do you think this is the last shot that he has as a starting quarterback this year in Seattle? Or do you think they're really looking at maybe 3 years down the road still in Seattle?
Well, I think it depends on how he plays, right? If he plays like he did 2 years ago when he had protection, you know, his accuracy was outstanding. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be good. They need to run the ball. Last year, they couldn't run it. And I think that's the other key. Kenneth Walker's a really good player.
Yep. Got to keep him healthy. You're right. But it does look bright. Check it out. VSiN.com. We'll talk more about that and everything that's on the website today. When we come back, let's talk about the release. It's finally coming, Michael. I promise you, we're going to get the full NFL slate. We'll talk about that next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check it out, VSiN.com. Each and every day, got best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles like Michael Lombardi's article today on Seattle, how the future might be bright out there in the Pacific Northwest. Odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there for you at VSiN.com.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Brian does amazing voiceover work for the network. I got to tell you, it gets me fired up. News or noise? Let's get to it. I'm assuming, Michael, finally, we saw reports yesterday, Jim Irsay kind of knows when this release is coming out. Is it news or noise that we're finally going to have the release of the full schedule on May 15th?
Oh, it's always news. Are you kidding me? There'll be a parade. Are you kidding? I mean, we can't wait. I mean, look, you know, the one thing I don't think we see in the release schedule is all this, you know, when you start to plan where you're going to go watch your team on the road or what trips you want to make and how you can plan. I know for us in the league, you know, you want to know where you're going to be at Christmas. Where are you going to be at Thanksgiving? Where are you going to be around the holiday? That's important, right? And so fans want to know the same thing, too. And then how many road games do we have? I never really get caught up in the strength of schedule as much as because it's somewhat meaningless, right? Because if you're playing a team that's quarterback's out for 2 weeks, is that really a tough game? It counts as a tough game because of last year's record. But it's almost it's not meaningful because nothing is consistent. It goes back to Aristotle's view of analytics. It has to be a consistent factor. So, yeah, I think it's news. It's huge news. Are you kidding me? They got programs. We've got two networks going to release the show. They can't wait.
It's massive news. Okay, I wonder if this is news or noise. This is from Brad Cragthorpe. He is the Bengals quarterback coach. He says that Joey B is looking more and more, Michael Lombardi, like the quarterback we're used to seeing. News or noise?
Well, I think it would only be noise at news if he wasn't that. I mean, who wasn't expecting that? It's like saying when you're in a job interview, I'm going to work hard. Well, of course you're. I mean, that's like a carpenter saying I'm going to bring my hammer to work. I mean, like that goes with the job. I mean, Joe didn't have his leg amputated. He's not coming back from a major surgery. Like, seriously, his arm's still attached to his shoulder. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know how that is news, really. The news would only be if Joe can't throw the ball 10 feet. And that's just not true.
This is what the QB coach went on to say. Quote, I think he looked as quick and as athletic as I've seen him look. He looked like the Joe Burrow we're used to seeing. I didn't see any difference. Okay,
if great. I was working in Cincinnati, I would tell Coach Craig Thorpe, shut up. Like, nobody needs to know that, right? Just shut up. Stay in your lane. Shut up. Like, nobody needs your evaluation. America's not waiting for your evaluation of Joe Burrow, right?
Doctor.
It's a long way from the game. Yeah. Right? Don't play doctor. Don't play general manager. Shut up. Just worry about coaching them. Just love worry it. About coaching them. See, that to me, that annoys the hell out of me, because that means, and I believe this is the grandson of the Idaho State coach, Dave Craig Thorpe, who was an offensive coach a long time. This is just, I want to get my name in the paper.
Mm. What it sounds like to me. Is this news or noise from the Browns GM, Andrew Berry? Oh, boy. He says that the team has high expectations for Deshaun Watson and the offense in 2024. Michael Lombardi, news or noise?
It's noise. I mean, what do you expect him to say? He has low expectations? Like, they gave up a boatload of draft picks. They guaranteed $250 million. Right. And the guy's been a disaster for Andrew Berry. You know, they've changed coaching staffs offensively. They took the play calling away from the head coach. They've done everything to tell us he's got to get better. Don't tell me you have high expectations. We know that. I mean, the guy sitting in a bar in Parma, Ohio today, drinking a shot and a beer. He's got high expectations for him, too. I mean, come on.
That's the one that made me laugh the most. I mean, my goodness, we are selling Deshaun Watson hard in 2024. So, like, it has not worked out so far. Maybe it looks better this year, but I'm with you on that one. All right, news or noise? And this is interesting. Comes from D'Amico Ryans, the head coach down there in H-Town. And he says that if J.J. Watt wants to return, quote, I've got his number ready to go. 99 back. In H-Town, Michael, news or noise?
Can we stop? Can we stop? This is noise, right? If J.J. Watt could still play at a high level, he'd be playing. Okay? This is the classic. It's like Tom Brady. I love him to death, but, you know, I can't not stay out of the game, right? Like, if J.J. Watt was playing at the highest level, he'd still be on the Texans, or he'd be on the Cardinals. He'd be on some team. Because I don't think CBS is paying him anywhere near the minimum salary of what you're going to get as a player. Well, I retired. You retired because you couldn't stay healthy. Your games, you were once a dominant player, but that's not the case. Like, I don't care if D'Amico has his number or doesn't. That call's not happening. Even on the cell plans we have, where it doesn't cost you any money to make a call. Like, that ain't happening.
The funniest thing about this is JJ said, I'll come back if D'Amico absolutely needs it. And then D'Amico said, I love hearing that JJ's ready, so I might need to make the call. I'm happy that he's open for it. I'm like, what is going on here?
I mean, it's just talk. It's a little bit like what Riley said about Butler. Just shut up.
That's it.
But that's, you know, we are in the manufacture of stories now because we need clicks, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, And I mean, if people are dumb enough to believe that, you know, J.J. Watt can come back in the league and play at a high level, you don't understand anything about football. Like, you don't take this time off, get your body to lose all the weight that he's lost, and think he's going to come back. Like, seriously.
I'm with you. News or noise here, and this would be with the Clippers, who just got exited stage left. This is from Lawrence Frank, the president of basketball ops. He says that the Clips, they want to keep the big three. Paul George, James Harden, yeah. Kawhi Leonard. News or noise?
Yeah, I think this is news. I don't think they can go into a new arena and with revamping their team. I mean, there's some teams that are just trapped to where they are, right? They're just trapped. Harden's going to become a free agent. George has a player option. Mm-hmm. He can become a free agent. They've got Kawhi under contract, but If they let Paul go, who they needed to get, they traded for Paul because of to get Leonard. They needed that first, right?
Right.
And so, like, if they let Paul walk, Leonard's going to be unhappy, and, you know, Harden is there. I think they're trapped into where they are right now. They can't go anywhere. And I think Lawrence is saying exactly what he is. I mean, they've gone down this road. You can't come back now. It's too to go back now means a reload and a rebuild. I don't think Steve Ballmer has the appetite for that. They got to solve the problems in somehow, some way. But look, they're in the West. Minnesota's young. It's the same thing with Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix has no choice. They've got three players. You know, they've got six guys that they like on their roster. They're going to have to go all the way down. They're going to have to add pieces somehow, some way. But I don't think they can give up. They can't pull the grass or the roots out of the ground. It hasn't fully formed yet.
$48.8 million is that Paul George player option due next season. All right, one more. News or noise? Oh, boy. In Philadelphia. Now, Daryl Morey said Monday at the press conference that there are going to be a lot of changes, Michael, around Embiid and Maxey. News or noise out of the city of Brotherly Shove?
No, I mean, this is obviously noise, but I mean, this is news because nobody's coming back. I mean, he basically said, as Howard Eskin said yesterday, Paul Reed and Ricky Council are the only two guys that are going to count. Everybody else, they're clear in the decks, and he's going to replace them. And I mean, look, he's got no choice but to try to find some solution to build a team around a player that won't be available next May or next April. Good luck with that. And then after you pick up the 2 years that he has remaining at really high numbers, good luck trying to get out of that. We're going to find out where Morey is in terms of how he builds teams this offseason. I am so excited to watch. I really am. Because his answer to everything is go old, and the league is going young.
It's fascinating because we talked a lot about it this week, about roster construction, and we're talking about those young teams out West. And look, I love Maxey, and Embiid is Embiid, but you're right. It seems like you're tearing it all down. If you don't tear it down and rebuild it with younger commodities, it's going to be more of the same, right?
No question. You're not catching Boston. Your chance to catch Boston was to keep Tatum from going there.
Right.
But we thought in our infinite wisdom that Markelle Fultz was the greatest player of all time.
Some of us did not. That was fantastic, by the way. News or noise? A lot of news. A lot of noise out there as well. Okay, Michael, when we come back,
there's always
a lot of noise this time of year. Okay, when we come back, we're going to have Adam Burke join the program, talk more about what's going on with the website. Of course, your article is out right now about the Seattle Seahawks. So everybody check that out if you haven't done so already. But back with Adam Burke next here on Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line. As we continue, Michael, with your deep dives into individual divisions. And today, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the NFC South and see what they've done. And it was funny because going into last year, I think it was looked at as, well, it's the division that Tom Brady left. It's the worst division in football. And then the Buccaneers, something happened that we didn't see. They go ahead and win the division with Baker Mayfield and actually win a playoff game. So I don't know what this division is going to look like this year. But we know in the surprise of the draft was Michael Penix going 8 to the ATL after getting Kirk Cousins in free agency. They are the odds-on favorite. There's only three teams that are odds-on favorites to win the divisions. The Niners, the Chiefs, and ironically, the Falcons. You got to lay money with the Falcons. Michael, is this draft good enough that you'd want to lay money on the Falcons to win this division?
Well, they didn't have a draft to help their team, David. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, Michael Penix is for the future. You know, Rook is a kid that has got really good physical numbers as a defensive tackle. But I think a lot of teams were surprised he went that early, especially with Fisk on the board and Newton, the kid from Illinois. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And they're rundown players. They're not going to rush the passer. This team was 29th in the National Football League last year in creating turnovers. It's going to be hard, you know, and Raheem Morris is a really good coach, but he doesn't have Aaron Donald up there to pressure. So it's going to be a challenge. And look, the one thing I do know if you're going to be a good team, you got to be able to rush the quarterback in the fourth quarter. And that's something they couldn't do. And, you know, when you look at the game they lost at, you know, the game they lost to Tampa at home, they're 6-6. They just beat the Jets in a 13-8 game. They got Tampa. They're up by seven. They're up to Tampa. They got a lead on Tampa, you know, 25-21. And then, of course, they go right down the field and score. And, you know, and they make the game, and they couldn't stop them because they can't get pressure on the passer. They lose four of the last five games, and they beat the Colts in kind of one of those. So I kind of think this is fool's gold because of Cousins. Remember, Cousins didn't want to sign back in Minnesota because they were honest and told him they would draft a quarterback. And here we are in Atlanta.
It's amazing to me because, again, $1.30 for the Falcons is the favorites to win that division. Just not my money, but we'll see how it works out for them. And I'm with you. Just doesn't look like this draft is going to help what they were trying to do in free agency. The Saints were the favorites last year. This time last year didn't work out for New Orleans year one with Derek Carr. They go offensive tackle in round one. Then they're going to go corner in round two. And then Spencer Rattler, they're going to take him in round five as a day three guy out of South Carolina. What'd you make overall of the directions of where the Saints are trying to go?
Well, I mean, like I wrote in my column today on VSiN, you know, everything with the offseason starts with why did we win, why did we lose? And one of the reasons they lost last year was, A, Carr was horrible in the red zone, couldn't score touchdowns, and B, their offensive line was really disappointing. And so they've tried to fix that. With Fuaga, they drafted in the first round to give him a left tackle, right? And they've always put resources into their offensive and defensive lines, which I think is really important. Now, whether Chase Young is that resource, that remains to be seen on the defensive line. But this is a team that won four of the last five games. Went into Tampa, when Tampa was the playoff team and beat Tampa soundly in that game. You know, I would not rule them out. I don't trust Derek Carr, especially when the game's on the line. I mean, Derek Carr is the Ricky Fowler of the NFL. When it's competition and it's close, he probably shoots 79. When everybody's ahead of him and you're out of it, he'll shoot 64. You know, so I think to me, that's what I see. And so it's going to be hard to trust him, although I would put pizza money on him because, you know, they've got to get, you know, the kicker messed him up last year as well.
Yeah.
They've got two college free agents in there as kicking too. So, look, I know nobody loves Dennis Allen, and he's not great against the spread. He is a good defensive coordinator, and I think their defense will be good next year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to ask you about. It's more like, do we trust Dennis Allen to be able, because he is a good defensive coach, to make sure that that defense is really what keeps them in more ball games? And if the offense is better, special teams is better, the kicking is better, could that make the difference here? They're plus 380 to win this division. They were odds on this time last year. So do you look at that maybe as a decent value play, as a third betting choice in the division?
Yeah, I do. I think it does bring some value. I mean, look, this team has played well, right? I mean, they in the last four games, they beat Carolina, the Giants, two bad offenses. They gave up 30 to the Rams, right? They turned the ball over a bunch, but they held the Bucs to 13 points in Tampa Bay. That was their signature game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they beat Atlanta in the last game of the year when everybody knew they were going to get fired and Kaiser Sose and McKay was orchestrating the hiring of Raheem Morris at the moment. So, you know, I think to me, this is, you know, I don't think they're a bad team, and they address the areas that they needed to address. And they're just going to have to get the quarterback to play at a higher level and get people to buy into it. That's the challenge. I mean, that's the hesitation that I have.
The Kaiser Sose reference is fantastic. When you look at the Buccaneers, again, they won the division last year with Baker Mayfield. They're bringing Baker Mayfield back. Mike Evans re-signs. And then this is what they go do in the draft. Now, in the first round, they do get a center out of Duke, and I think the offensive line clearly was an issue for them. Round two, they're going to go edge out of Alabama. Round three, going to stay with defense and draft a safety. Also get a wide receiver in round three and a running back in round four. So overall, how do you evaluate what the Bucs tried to do on draft day?
Well, they needed to help their offensive line. There's no question, right? They needed to do that, and I think they were. And one of the things I think they've got to really count on, they traded Carlton Davis away for a third-round pick. I mean, this Tyke Smith has got to come through as a nickel corner for him, who they drafted in the third round. That's going to be critical, right? Mm-hmm. And McCollum, who they drafted in the fifth round 2 years ago, he's got to play well. Jamal Dean's their best corner, but they blitz quite a bit. Look, when they got Devin White out of there and put K.J. Britt in there, they became a better defense. That was pretty clear. They're going to be able to rush the passer. Todd Bowles is a really good defense coordinator. and he can attack the opponent. They just got to avoid that losing streak that they went on last year where they just couldn't, you know, they couldn't make enough plays. But with their skilled players, Godwin, Evans, if they protect for Baker, they got a better chance. Look, the other thing they got to be able to do, and it happened on them last year, they couldn't run the football. I mean, that's got to be the killer. They were 32nd in yards per attempt rushing. You know, they were 32nd in yards. This is 2 years. Even when Brady was there, they couldn't run the ball. They've got to get more physical up front.
Yeah, that seems to be certainly a case here. That's been 2 years running now. They just cannot run the football. Carolina's the long shot to win this division. They're 15-1. There's been changeover everywhere. Bryce Young, year two. They do get him some help at wide receiver at the end of the first round, going with Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. Get a running back in round two out of Texas, Jonathan Brooks. A lot of people like him. Then they go defense in round three with a linebacker out of Kentucky. What do you make of the direction of Carolina? Because I don't know where they're really going. Low win total here, 4.5.
Well, I mean, look, I think you got to parcel it out. Defensively, they're going down. The Ejiro Evero, they're going down his program, and I think you can see it pretty clearly, right? A lot of guys from Denver are coming over. They're going to try to change what they do, kind of play a three-man line. They signed Clowney, got hopes he stays healthy and plays at the same level. I mean, I think they'll be improved defensively because it'll be the second year of the defensive system. They've got to be able to cover man-to-man on the outside if they, in fact, can do that. J.C. Horn can't seem to stay healthy. Look, they're going to make Bryce Young better. It has to be better than it was last year. But this obsession with running backs, I mean, Rashard Penny just signed back in there. I mean, they got Miles Sanders, you know, Chuba Hubbard. I mean, they're overloaded with running backs. I don't know how you play all those backs. And are they good enough in the front? I mean, last year, the offensive line from the first preseason game was a disaster. I went on Carolina radio and I was ripping their offensive team, and I was ripping Frank Wright, and the guy said, boy, this is personal for you. I said, no, it's not. You got to grade what you see. I mean, right. It was horrible. And then I went back on the show at the end of the year, and he's like, he apologized because it was horrible, and it was never got any better. So, you know, look, can Leggett make a difference? I don't know. Thielen's not an outside receiver anymore. He's an inside receiver. They get Deontay Johnson from Pittsburgh. He's going to have to make some plays, but they're going to have to do a better job. And I think Canales will do a better job of running the offense with more effectiveness.
What's his job, number one? Is it to make Bryce Young into a viable quarterback in the NFL? Or, like you said, maybe address that running game and helps out everybody?
Well, I think his number one job is to protect Bryce Young, which is what they didn't give a darn about. Between Eric Bieniemy in Washington and Frank Reich in Carolina, nobody was caring about how to protect the quarterback. It was truly, truly malpractice at the highest level and gotten quarterbacks killed. That's what they have to do. You know, running the ball doesn't help the quarterback, because if you run it on first down and get 1 yard, you run it on second down and get another yard, now you're in 3rd and 8. How does that help the quarterback? Like, I love when people say that. You got to run the ball to help the quarterback. You have to have successful runs to help the quarterback.
Yeah, that would help and get some pressure off that quarterback back there. Dave Canales, he's got a lot of work to do. Year number one in Carolina. Okay, when we come back for hour number two to begin the Lombardi Line, let's figure out what's on your mind, Michael. That is next year when you come back with us right here on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription for an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. It's going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro Access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. So with VSiN Pro, you're going to get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns, in-game analysis, plus proven betting systems from our professional handicappers, our exclusive betting splits showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here. It is time now to look at some stat leader props and some numbers associated with them, Michael. And there's so many different ways you can look at these props and marry them to, obviously, if it's the quarterback and the receiving core with the head coach, the style of play these teams want to play. But you can understand when you look at the regular season passing yards, while you get some of those usual suspects up there at the top of the board. You got Patrick Mahomes, of course, he is at 5-1 to lead this discussion. Maybe a bit of surprise that you go right to CJ Stroud next at 6-1. And I know they added Stephon Diggs this year. There's Dak down there deep in the heart at +650. Goff in Detroit at 8-1 with Tua. They got OBJ there in Miami. And then Joey B is back at +850 before you get to the double digits. Let's go on the left column first.
Odell's going to make a huge difference. I'm shocked Tua's number. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, I'm shocked Tua's not minus money with OBJ there.
He should be odds on.
He'll just take over the game. I mean, it's like Stephon Diggs. He's going to take it over. And, you know, like these two guys are going into teams. They have to be the third receiver. Mm-hmm. Look, when I see this list, when Elliot sent me the rundown this morning, mm-hmm. I mean, Joe Burrow at +850 with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, both of them in contract years. And here's what you have to kind of weigh into this, too. Zach Taylor loves calling pass plays as much as anybody. And they'll throw it up the field. They'll throw it quite a bit. Now, I mean, can Zach Moss help him in the run game? Yeah, I sure think he could. But I do think that you're going to get explosive plays out of them. And the same thing with Tua. You know, thank God they have OBJ in there. I don't know what they would do. I haven't slept. I haven't been worried about it since he's arrived. You know, he's a Hall of Fame player. You know, yeah, that's right. Sure, we got that one. Like, to me, Stroud... Like, let's be clear here. Mahomes isn't going to – they can't change what they do in KC,
right,
the way they play. They're going to have to feature Pacheco as much as they did last year. They're not – their left tackle situation is very iffy. Their skill plays receiver – I mean, I know we think Rashid Rice, who probably is headed for a long-term suspension mm-hmm. based on the evidence that's been coming out, you know, or he may not even be on the team, frankly. And so, you know, I think to me you've got to – you got to look at the how they have to play to win, right? Like Texas has to play balance to run the ball, play action pass, and Stroud. So there's going to be some passing games, but there's also going to be games you're going to have to run it. Whereas I think Burrow and Tua, I mean, their call sheets are all passes.
Yeah.
If you want to go Cousins at 14-1, God bless them if they can protect them. We'll see if that works. Josh Allen... You know, let's face it, Josh Allen, it's all loose plays. The reason he's 18-1 is because he makes as much with his feet as mm-hmm. he does with his arm.
I look at Jordan Love at 16-1. Does that entice you at all? No Aaron Jones now. He's in Minnesota. You got Josh Jacobs there because they got a bunch
got
of receivers.
Jacobs.
Right?
Well, Jacobs is good in the passing game. I mean, Jacobs can do everything Aaron Jones did in the passing game if he's in shape and if he has his legs. Last year, the contract holdout and his lower body wasn't the same. And it could be the residue of 300 carries, right? Mm-hmm. That the only person who's been immune to 300 carries is Derrick Henry. He's been immune to it. He kind of gets it over. Emmitt Smith, they went through it a couple years, and all of a sudden he hit that wall. You know, I thought Aaron Jones was the difference in that Packer offense late in the year. But I'm with you on Love. I love their receivers. You know, if Watson can stay healthy and not have the hamstring, I think they're really good. I would not be – because they're going to call a lot of pass plays, too.
16-1 feels like there might be some value in that number with the plethora of receivers they have there. For rushing yards, and again, it gets back to what you just talked about, the call sheet, Michael. Which teams want to run it, which teams want to try to be balanced, and which teams really just want to chuck it all over the place. I look at one long shot coming back off injury – and knowing what Kevin Stefanski likes to do in Cleveland, that's Nick Chubb at 25-1. Does that worry you because the gruesome nature of the injury? And there's Pacheco at 22-1.
I wouldn't touch it.
You wouldn't touch Chubb?
No chance. I mean, I don't know if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be cleared to play, but playing good is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gruesome injury. A Pacheco is a great call, but the problem is you can't trust Andy to call runs. I mean, they're going to rotate. They brought Edwards. They brought Hilaire back, too. So he's going to have a committee. And eventually, you know, they're going to throw it. I think the guy that jumps out on this at 650-1 is Barkley.
Wow.
Because Barkley was brought in for a specific purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barkley, if he stays healthy, Barkley was brought in to run the ball, to give them a better version of Miles Sanders. And they're going to run it. Like, they are going to run it. Now, unless Kellen Moore all of a sudden goes off the reservation and can't wait to start calling pass plays, which will be a problem. But I think so. And same thing with Jonathan Taylor. They know they got with a rookie quarterback, because he's only started two games last year, they've got to run it. All the other guys, I think it's hard to peg. The other one would be Henry at 12-1 because if you're going to play Henry, you got to put Lamar under center and you got to hand the big fella the ball. Like, you can't go into the game and say, we're just going to give Henry 10 carries, because where Henry wins is on carry 15 to 22. He wears your ass down. Nobody wants to tackle him. So to me, that's where I get into a little bit of you got to look and pick and choose. Like McCaffrey, I wouldn't touch that in a million years, only because can he stay healthy 2 years in a row? That worries you. And, you know, they drafted the Guerrero kid in the fourth round from Louis. They're going to rotate. They got to keep McCaffrey fresh for January.
What about Bijan? Because there's so much consternation down there in the ATL. Arthur Smith is not there this year, that they didn't use him enough last year for the media's liking, or maybe social media's liking. What do you make of who he is, 12-1 on the odds board here, and now with Raheem Morrison there, do you think they try to get the running game going as they figure out what's going to happen at quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, Algier 2 years ago averaged 5 yards a carry. Bijan didn't. Last year, I mean, you know, that was overkill. You can't play two backs, right? I'm not saying Bijan is really a dynamic pass catcher. He's a factor in the passing game, you know, and I think that's really where he's going to gain a lot. He'll give them that element that Todd Gurley gave the Rams when McVay first went there. You know, not just a screen pass catcher, but a true pass catcher. But they're going to rotate. Algier, they're going to get because Algier's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And so I think he would be a play. Jacobs at 14-1, you know, because look, it's going to get cold. It's going to get, you know, you're going to have to run the ball there. And I do think they will give him the football.
Interesting odds board there. Let's get to the receivers, and you can understand why the Cheetah is the top of it.
Well, I'm playing Beckham here without a doubt. To me,
get
easy.
That 100-1 ready on.
Easy. I mean, I think that's a slam dunk. I'm going to play Diggs and Beckham, because that's all we're going to hear about. Two guys who are third receivers on teams, and all we're going to talk about is Odell Beckham. He's on the Miami Dolphins, and oh my God, Stephon Diggs. You know, I mean,
Diggs, by the way, is 22-1.
It's just unbelievable.
Michael. It is unreal. Diggs is 22-1, by the way.
Oh my God, just give the money to the kids at St. Jude's, please. Just give that money to St. Jude's. I beg of you. I really do. Ridiculous. I think a lot of this comes down to, obviously, Hill's an easy play. You know, I think that's the easy one. I think Davante Adams is, there's no chance. 18-1. I mean, Davante Adams is not the same player he was two years ago. You know, he's kind of trending in the wrong direction, you know, and I think you got to be really careful about that. So, I what's shocking is Nakua's on this list. And I don't see Cooper Kupp on the list.
Not on the first board.
I mean, Cooper Kupp must be longer than 20-1. Yeah. That's remarkable, right?
28-1?
28. Thank you, Elliot. 28-1. Wow. That's remarkable.
That is. And you still have Stafford. Yeah.
I would say I would play at 9-1. I would play Chase. I would play Chase and, you know, I would still play A.J. Brown. Yep. I think he's going to have a big year, you know, because he got the new contract. And I think those are the places. I mean, one of the things you have to do in this category is believe that the coach can get the ball to the player when he's doubled. See, this category is really about who is the number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is getting the ball when he's covered, right? Who is a true number one? And I think this category speaks volumes to that. You know, Michael Pittman's a good player, but people can take him out of the game. Right. And so I think you got to look at that really closely.
I love the Jamar Chase at 9-1 with Joey B being back. Right. Because we've seen him have he's had Justin Jefferson games, but I can't play JJ this year because you don't know who the quarterback is, whether it's Darnold or JJ McCarthy. Right. That doesn't feel like a playable number to me. Right.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I think that's why Chase hits his contract year. Once Lamb gets a deal, once Jefferson gets a deal, Chase is going to see that money and go.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes easier to kind of X out people on the first page of that leaderboard that we just talked about in some of these profit markets versus... Well,
Drake London, I can't believe Drake London isn't on this list. How is Drake London not on this list? He's a number one receiver.
Harry Gagnon's going to join the program next when you come back with us right here on the Lombardi Line. We'll be right back.